You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Hour number four of the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Thank you ever so much for being here on this December 9th edition of the Commute with Carlson. You're not going to want to be anywhere but here in half an hour. The $15 an hour minimum wage debate heats up. My guest from the Alliance for a Just Society saying that, of course, the minimum wage should be $15 an hour. So that'll be fun. Right now, some enlightenment coming your way from Michael Tanner from the Cato Institute Libertarian Think Tank. Senior fellow there, Mike, is the author of Replacing, not Repealing, Replacing Obamacare. Joins me now to talk about not about the problem with the website, not about the problems with keeping your insurance plan, not about whether your plan, if you buy on the exchanges, will cover your doctor or hospital, but about something else, in addition to all that, called the Medicaid time bomb. How you doing this morning, Michael?
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you, as always.
You got it. Okay. You say the good news is that, yeah, more than 1.5 million Americans have enrolled in Obamacare, but almost 1.5 million of those have simply signed up for Medicaid.
Well, that's right, and that's both bad news both in financially and in terms of the care that people are going to receive. I think a lot of people believe that Obamacare was going to give people insurance. The reality is it's just cramming extra people onto the Medicaid Titanic.
Why is it a Titanic?
Well, Medicaid is already, it's one of the big three entitlement programs that is threatening the federal budget, and it is also one of the largest costs to state budgets. It's already on state level crowding out things like education and prisons and highways.
Well, let's take a step back for our listeners who don't follow these issues closely. Medicaid is health care coverage for the poor that they don't actually pay into. It's basically health insurance welfare.
That's exactly right. It is simply a subsidized form of health care, sort of a single-payer system, if you will. It's paid for out of tax dollars, and the government pays doctors and hospitals directly and at very low reimbursement rates.
Which is why growing numbers of doctors are not seeing Medicaid patients or are cutting back on their proportion of Medicaid patients at the very time when Medicaid rolls are about to swell.
And that's why so many Medicaid patients end up at the emergency room for treatment. They can't find a primary care doctor who will take them. About a third of primary care doctors won't take Medicaid patients. It's not a surprise. Medicare reimburses them less than it costs to treat the patient. So they're doing it as sort of a charity thing, and some doctors simply aren't going to take that many more of them.
Now, let me give the numbers out here, Mike, if I can, for Washington State. We keep hearing how great Washington State is because we have our own state website. But here are your numbers. We have 176,000 people who have enrolled in Obamacare. About 156,000 or 158,000 have enrolled in Medicaid. Only 18,131 people have enrolled in an insurance plan, a qualified plan, in the first 2 months of operation. So if you take the figure, Michael, that there has to be 7 million people buying insurance on the exchanges for this to cost out between now and March, or between October 1st and March. In the first 2 months, Washington, which our share of that 7 million would be about 150,000, has only 18,000. We're doing
about a little short.
Yeah, we're doing about 9,000 a month. And yeah, we will finish out about one-third of the way, less than half of what we would need to do for this to cost out.
That's right, and that's a big problem nationwide. And it's also a big problem as to who is signing out. Because of that 7 million, they need about 38% of those to be young and healthy in order to make the numbers work. And those numbers aren't even close. In California, for example, it's only around 22% of the people signing up are young and healthy. So they're about half of what they need to be on that.
Well, and when you say the people signing up to buy insurance, again, not receive Medicaid, which is free. Well, it's free for the user. It's nothing's free. But when it comes to people who buy an insurance policy, many of them have pre-existing conditions, and that is why they are rushing to get insurance. They need medical treatment now, or they know that they will because of a pre-existing condition. As you point out, a very small percentage of those people who are getting insurance are actually young and healthy.
Well, that's right. Now, some of that may be the website, to be fair, because with all the problems they were having, if you have a health problem and you're desperate to get insurance, you'll sit there all night long and go on at 2 in the morning when there's no traffic, or refresh every 5 minutes. If you're young and healthy, you try to sign on 2 or 3 times and it crashes on you, you say, the heck with this, and you walk away. But so that may change a little bit as the website gets fixed, but boy, they have a lot of ground to make up.
Now, isn't it true that both Medicaid and Medicare are approaching insolvency?
Well, Medicare is certainly going, it's about $50 to $70 or $80 trillion in the red, depending on how you want to count it in terms of unfunded liabilities. Medicaid technically isn't insolvent, because it's funded out of general tax revenues, so it
right.
doesn't have those type of unfunded liabilities. That said, it is among the fastest growing of all the programs in Washington, and it is eating up an ever larger portion of the federal budget. If something isn't done sometime soon, Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid are going to consume more than half of all federal spending.
And the reason I bring this up is one of the features of the Affordable Care Act is that it vastly expanded the threshold, the qualifications for people to apply for and receive Medicaid.
Well, that's right. It moved the eligibility nationally to 138% of the poverty level. Now, most states already covered that for women, children, pregnant women, and so on. What you're primarily moving in now is single childless men who are a very high risk, expensive group to treat.
So where are we going to be here? Where is this taking us?
Well, the danger is that this is going to put a huge burden on state governments. Now, the federal government has promised that for the first 3 years, they will pay 100% of the cost of this expansion and then about 90% thereafter. But if these costs continue to rise, given the federal budget problems we're facing, the feds are going to not necessarily keep their word on that. In fact, the Obama administration has already raised the possibility of cutting back that reimbursement rate by about 20%. And if that's the case, then the pressure on state governments is going to be huge.
Well, plus, when it comes to repealing and replacing Obamacare, how do you take someone off a free government service once they're on it?
Well, that's right. We've never been able to cut back, particularly in terms of eligibility rates. But the tragic thing is that going on Medicaid is not good health care. And in fact, the evidence suggests that being on Medicaid is no better than not having health insurance at all in terms of health outcomes. Next door in Oregon, probably the best experiment ever done on this, a randomized double-blind experiment, basically showed there was no difference in health outcomes between being uninsured and being on Medicaid.
Mike Tanner from the Cato Institute, he and some other Cato scholars have written an anthology of sorts called Replacing Obamacare. When you hear the president and others say, well, the Republicans have offered no alternative, the answer is, well, yes, they have. It's not just one big system. It's piecemeal. It's here's how you deal with the issue of the uninsured. Here's how you deal with the issue of cost containment, et cetera, et cetera. Where do you think, politically speaking, Republicans ought to go from here, Mike?
Well, I do think it'd be a good idea if they could rally around a single proposal. There are many Republican plans out there. The president's simply incorrect when he says Republicans don't have an alternative. The problem is they don't have a single plan that they are rallying around. And it's always a problem. Of course, the president has the bully pulpit, and the Republicans have 42 spokesmen all trying to seek their 5 minutes on CNN.
Let's get to the phones here. Phil in Issaquah, did you have a question or comment for Michael Tanner?
No, I just wanted to say I agreed 100% with what you're saying. You know, we need to definitely get on message about opposing this plan. I just wanted to call and pass on something funny I found over the weekend about Obamacare. With I read it on, found it on a Fox News blog. When I was growing up, I was always told, you know, over dinner and holidays to avoid religion, politics, controversial topics. But I thought it's pretty funny. Fox News pointed out over Thanksgiving weekend, Obama's supporters, or the Obama campaign, you know, the one that never shuts down, sent out two emails priming their followers to be ready to attack their family members if any of them dare speak out against Obamacare. And specifically references crazy aunts and uncles.
Yeah, no, they actually went further than that, Phil, and I thank you for the call. Mike, you probably heard this, that Organizing for America, which is the Obama political action wing, which was the Obama campaign and converted into a permanent political action organization, urged young people to talk about Obamacare at the family Thanksgiving table. Make sure everyone signed up. And there are probably other things to talk about at Thanksgiving, but they were trying to make that they even made a video of a kid, how to talk to your parents about Obamacare. Thanksgiving. They really do this. Anyway, Michael, I appreciate you taking the time to go over this. And what happens if they don't have the 7 million? Did we lose Michael Tanner?
Paul. Yeah, the danger is what actuaries call an adverse selection death spiral. That is the idea that if young, healthy people are not in the insurance pool, what happens is you have a pool just of older, sicker people. That drives up premiums because those are costly people to treat. As the premiums go up, healthier people drop out because insurance just isn't worth it at the new price. And that just continues. Then it's a sicker pool, higher premiums, healthy people drop out, and it keeps going until the entire insurance pool collapses. Both the administration and the insurance companies are terrified that that might happen.
Now, you're a policy guy, not a political guy, but from all your years in Washington, you've developed a pretty good head about, you know, political reality. Where do you think Obamacare is going to be in a year?
Well, I think it's going to be a mess. Right in time for the 2014 elections. Next fall is when the employer mandate goes into effect, and that's when people who with employer policies start getting those notices that their plan has been canceled. So I think that Democrats are going to be hard-pressed to deal with this next fall.
All right. Michael Tanner from the Cato Institute, again, one of the co-authors of Replacing Obamacare, telling us about the Medicaid time bomb that's coming around the corner. Thanks again, Mike.
Anytime.
Always great having you here. It is 19 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI.